Good morning. Please remain seated as we sing Surely the Presence. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We're so happy you're here to worship with us this morning. If you would, please take the attendance register found at the ends of your pews, the little red folder, and fill it out and pass it down to the other side of the pew. We'd love to find out who's here this morning. So please register your attendance. And when the offering plates come by, you'll tear out the sheet and put it in the plate, and that's how we'll know who is here this morning. Once again, we're so happy you're here. We have a few announcements to go over real quick. This week, we will have no gathering. Our last gathering was this past Wednesday and finished up a great spring series. So there will be no more gatherings till next fall. So we'll miss them, but can't wait till they come back in the fall. This Saturday, the Bible class is hosting their annual rummage sale, which is going to start at 8 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. And that's always a real good sale, and hope you all come out to that, find some good bargains, thanks to the Bible class. Next Sunday, a week from today, we have our annual talent show, sponsored by the youth group, talent show and dessert auction. This is to raise money for our annual trip to Sakahatchee. So we have a great turnout every year, and hope y'all can come to that. So it's next Sunday, that's May 7th, be at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. One more announcement, graduation Sunday is coming up on May 21st, and if you are graduating high school or college, or have a son or daughter who is, and is a member of the church, and you would like them to be recognized, we really need that information, where, if they're a high school graduate, where they're going to college, if they're a college graduate, what their plans are post-graduation. So if you would call the church office this week or the next couple weeks and let us know that information. I believe that's all the announcements we have, and let us prepare our hearts for worship. Will you please stand for the call to worship? Blessed are you, God of all creation, and blessed is the union into which you gather us. The vacant cross and the empty tomb vindicate your claim that the love which suffers is the love which saves. Send your Holy Spirit to call us by name and lead us home. You meet us on the road with hands still scarred, offering the promise of peace. And though you go on ahead, you promise a companion to show us the way. Send your Holy Spirit to call us by name and lead us home. Be seated. Let's pray together the invocation found in your bulletin. Blessed are you, O God, who breaks open wide the tomb of our world, calls life out of death, and leads all creation into eternal life. Blessed is your Son Jesus, who in life and death revealed your glory. Suffering sin's deadly powers, he entered the captivity of hell and proclaimed the liberty to those imprisoned by the unyielding force of death. Breaking forth from the grave stronghold, he pushed back the stone, met us on the road as a beloved stranger, and awakened in us the hope that the earth will be saved from its enemies. Ascended into glory, he is everywhere present, gathering up all things in the surprise of new life and desire fulfilled. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time, I have several concerns not listed in your bulletin I need to lift up. And one is, we heard this morning, one of our newest members, Phyllis Legg, is in Spartanburg in the hospital. We're not sure of her condition, but we ask that you be in prayer for Phyllis Legg and her husband, Philip. For Carol Bateman, who is in the hospital here. Barbara Stroud, who is scheduled to have surgery on Monday. Bill Baxter in the hospital. Emily King, Thanksgiving, she is scheduled to come home. And we also have Bud Pendergrass on our concern list, who is scheduled, we believe, to come home. We continue to be in prayer for Bill Nicholson, for Barbara, we have mentioned, Joyce Bartless, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach. My mother's report is that she does have leukemia, but it's the good kind. If you're going to have leukemia, they said she doesn't have to come back for 6 months. So I thank you for your prayers, and she's smiling again. Kyle Bennett, Ronnie and Karen Tolley's brother-in-law, Amanda Hinton, Ray Ballantyne, that's Jason's father, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. We offer sympathy to Jimmy Wade on the death of his brother-in-law as well. Let us lift our prayers up together to God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we live in these bodies. We love in our hearts, and we often fear in our minds as we travel through time, aging, learning, growing, overcoming with the help of your Spirit. We take comfort from knowing that you know what it is to live on this dusty earth, assaulted by the confusion and the uncertainty of life on this planet. We take comfort from knowing that you have walked in our shoes, faced our temptations, faced down those forces who would fight against God's will. Lord, walk with us nearer. Sustain and comfort us with your Holy Spirit. Give us hearts to trust you. Give us power to live for you and ears to hear your word over the din and noise of all that which would call us astray. In our prayers, we lift before you the leaders of the nations of the world. We pray that you open their hearts to the voice of your Spirit, that they might do more perfectly your will. And we lift before you the concerns of our hearts, our prayers for one another, our prayers for our church, our families, and ourselves. Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in a holy moment of silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask the children to come down front for the children's sermon this morning with me.
Well, good morning. Oh, that's right. We do take up an offering, don't we? And I don't have anything to put the offering in. How about if you have any offering, just kind of put it on the altar rail. We'll make sure that we get that later on if you have an offering. Now, there are two kinds of people in the world. I'm not talking about Methodist and Baptist. There are dog people and cat people. How many of you are dog people? Raise your hand. How many? Okay, out there too. How many of you are cat people?
If you love both dogs and cats, raise your hand. Oh my goodness, there's some who do, who love all kinds of animals. Now, I'm going to share a story. I have it written down because it is a wonderful story. It was written by a veterinarian, so I'm not a veterinarian, but I'm going to read it from his point of view. And it says something about love, and I wanted you to hear it. It says, being a veterinarian, I had been called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owners, Ron and his wife, Lisa, and their little boy, Shane, were very attached to Belker. That's the dog's name, Belker. And they were hoping for a miracle. But when they examined the dog, the veterinarian did, they found out that Belker was dying. He had a disease they could not help. And he said, there is nothing we can do for Belker. And he's in a lot of pain. And so we're going to put him to sleep. That means that Belker was going to die because there was nothing that they could do. So they made the arrangements. And everybody was upset and they were worried about little 4-year-old Shane because he loved the dog too. And they thought that he was going to be very, very upset. But it turned out that he handled it beautifully. He handled it well. And they sat together after Belker was dead. And they asked little 4-year-old Shane if he understood what had happened. And maybe had any questions about why. And Shane said, I know why. And they were a little bit startled that he wasn't upset, that he knew why. And his answer was this. He said, people are born so they can learn to live a good life. Like loving everybody all the time, right? And Shane continued. He said, well, dogs already know how to do that. So they don't have to stay so long. It takes us a long time to learn what God had planned on this earth for us, and that is to love everybody all the time. In Jesus, when we talk about the gospel, it means that God hugged the entire world. And when we say the word faith, that means we hug God back. And after a while, when God hugs us and we hug God back, God says, all right, now run along, you go hug others in my name. And that's what our faith is about. And maybe dogs do know that faster than we do. But if you see somebody on your way out who looks maybe a little sad, or maybe their back's hurting, or they have a headache, or they just seem like they need a hug, I think that would be an okay thing to do. I started to say, or you could pat them on the head, but that would take the dog analogy a little bit too far. And besides, some ladies get their hair fixed on Saturdays before Sunday, and you shouldn't mess up their hair. But if you see somebody who needs a hug on the way out, that'd be okay. In fact, after our prayer, we might do a group hug here. Let's pray. I'll pray, and when I'm finished, we can all say amen. Father God, we thank you that you have hugged us, embraced us in Jesus Christ, and we do believe. And we return that hug, that embrace. And we thank you that through your Spirit, you are teaching us to reach out and hug one another. Thank you, Lord, for being able to love as Jesus did. In His name we pray. Amen. Everybody, 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 everybody. Okay? Okay?
Group hug.
All right. Group hug. Oh, my goodness.
This is good. Okay. This is almost like piling on. Okay, good.
Okay, now if you see somebody out there who looks like they need a hug, hug them before you go on. It is time now that we pass the peace. And if you do see someone who looks like they need a hug, go right ahead.
Our first reading this morning is from Acts 3, verses 12 through 19. Peter and John have been at the temple, and Peter has healed the lame beggar. And he looks around and he sees how astounded the people are. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, for the rose of
Our second reading comes from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 7. How great is the love of the Father that He has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough for all of our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 48. Hear now God's word. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. But they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle these and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our Rock
and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, this is an odd bit of Scripture. Here's the situation. The disciples were afraid that Jesus was a ghost. And what does He do to assuage their fears? He says, "Look at my hands and my feet, and do you have anything to eat?" And He eats a piece of broiled fish. I mean, imagine that you are brave and that you are inspired and you are witnessing your faith to someone who thinks that Jesus is just another teacher. And you say, no, He was God in flesh. And what is our big proof? Well, it is Easter, that death could not hold Him. And imagine that they say they just don't believe in a physical resurrection. And you point out to them this passage and the fact that was included to help us believe that Jesus ate fish. Well, if people don't believe in the resurrection, then they certainly are not going to be convinced by the fact that He ate fish. You have to wonder, why was this included? Well, it could be that some of us even today do not really believe in any sort of physical resurrection, and maybe the story does speak to us. In this very same chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was speaking to some followers on the road to Emmaus who did not recognize who He was until He sat down at a meal and broke bread to begin the meal. And then He opened to them the Scriptures and He explained that the prophets predicted that the Messiah must suffer. And these followers, who had the Scriptures open to them in Emmaus, ran to Jerusalem to find the 11 gathered there and told them what had happened. And as they were telling the 11 gathered in Jerusalem, Jesus Himself stood among them. While they were still talking, Jesus appeared among them and simply said, "Peace be with you." And they set a new all Jerusalem record for the jumping straight up and backwards into the corner. It says that they were startled and they were afraid. They were scared to death. Even Scripture says they thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said, "It's me. Calm down. Look at my hands and feet." The implication is, see the scars. "Touch me. I'm not a ghost. I have flesh and bones. Look." And they, as the translation in the RSV says, they disbelieved for joy. It seems in an effort to convince them that He was not a ghost, He said, "All right, do you have anything to eat here?" And they gave Him, still frightened, I think, from a distance, a piece of broiled fish. And He took it and He ate it. And then He started to teach, just as He had taught the followers in Emmaus. He taught them that the cross was not a failure. He taught them that the Messiah had to suffer and die and rise on the third day. He taught them that His ministry was not over. In fact, it had just become focused and triumphant and was ready to be given into their hands along with the gift of the Holy Spirit to encourage and to empower them. The book of Acts says that He taught them for 40 days, then blessed them, and then ascended, and then sent the Holy Spirit, which we know as the Pentecost event. Now, some people do understand that the Christian faith is a set of teachings, that it is a philosophy. But no, not a ghost of a chance. And that reminds me of a story. And when I say that reminds me of a story, what follows is supposed to be, is meant to be, is intended to be humorous. At the end, I'll pause. The story is, at this time of year, a man made some forms, you know, put some boards up, some forms for concrete, and he dug a new sidewalk in his front yard, and he had waited for the warm weather to make sure that his sidewalk would dry perfectly with no cracks. He had the sidewalk poured, and he was sort of halfway keeping an eye out the window on it. And then at one point, he glanced out the window, and to his shock, there were some children out there doing what children do. They were writing their names in the still wet concrete on his perfect sidewalk. He went berserk. He ran from his house. He screamed at the kids. He chased them down the block. He threatened lawsuits against their college funds. And his wife had to come out and grab him and stop and said, "John, what is wrong with you? You love children." He said, "Yes, dear, I love children. In the abstract. But not in the concrete." Okay. Now this odd resurrection story is meant to teach us that Jesus is no philosopher whose teaching continued on. Neither was he a ghost, nor a figment of the disciples' imagination. His teaching continued beyond his death because he continued beyond his death. In Jesus, God came to us concretely in the flesh and overcame sin and death. Because God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross, we can be assured that the Creator, the Judge of the universe, the Lawgiver, knows our hearts and is also the same one who offers complete forgiveness, undiminished love, and real available relationship even in this moment. Available relationship. For He lives. We are those, I hope, who already believe. Now this story gives a little more substance to our belief. Jesus is not a symbol, not a ghost, not a dream, not a memory, not an idle tale. He arose from the dead and is alive forevermore for whomsoever will come. We may be, though, like the disciples. They believe to a point. At least they felt kindly toward Jesus. They had some trust in Jesus. They had admiration for Him. And they thought that all remained of Him in that moment was simply a memory, or when He showed up, a ghost. They did not get it, that He was still as available as ever to relate to comfort, even to touch. All through this chapter of Luke, Scripture tells us another thing. Scripture tells us that the disciples did not understand Scripture. It's interesting. Have you ever thought about that? Imagine the disciples, the early church, recording the Gospels and writing down, having to write down in the New Testament for all time that they did not understand Scripture. Did not really understand after all that time who Jesus was. And that the powers of this world would kill Him and that the resurrection would happen. Mark wrote down in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, "But they did not understand the saying and they were afraid to ask Him." Imagine Mark having to write down, essentially, "We were stupid and we were afraid to ask." Well, here, they are afraid for their lives and they are confused about all that had happened. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And that is a good thing because they had no confidence. They had no power of their own, and neither do we. At the same time in our world today, at the same time that spirituality in general is hot, it is becoming quite unfashionable to believe specific things about God. We believe that Christianity is a good idea. I mean, who can argue that loving God and loving neighbor and loving self and even loving enemies, when practiced, who can believe that these teachings don't make the world a better place for all? when made flesh, when made concrete, when made real in our relationships, the whole world is better when Jesus' teachings are practiced. But these things are not possible apart from a relationship with the living Christ. Thank God that a relationship is possible. It is possible because Jesus is available and was not defeated by death. The disciples had heard all the teaching and they had heard all the parables, but still they had no power, no confidence, no sense of authority until they truly got it that their rabbi, their teacher was more than a man. He told them that He would always be with them and even in them through the Holy Spirit. We need the same thing they needed. We need to know that Jesus lives and that God is available for relationship, to give us direction, to give us power and guidance, and most importantly, what Jesus promised, comfort. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, and we need comfort. I mean, we all come to church on Sunday, we're dressed up, our hair is combed, we are mature, we are civil, we are polite, we are together. But from day to day and hour to hour in the dark nights of the soul, what I need most, most often, is God's comfort. God, present, real, as Comforter. And I feel sorry for Christians whose faith is wrapped up completely in proper doctrine. If your faith is wrapped up completely in doctrine alone, something is upside down. Doctrine is important, but first, Jesus calmed the disciples' fears. He proved that He was still available, that He loved them, and then He taught them on a deeper level, and then He blessed them with His continued presence through the Holy Spirit. He is with them and is with us. He promised in that way to be with them always, to be with us always. And the trust that we will never be alone, that is the foundation of faith. First, trust is the foundation of faith. Faith is first trust. And then it is spiritual comfort. And then comes the teaching. Yes, doctrine does equal direction, and that is important. But I picture the disciples huddled in the corner until they knew that they could still trust Jesus as an available, real, present person. Doctrine did not mean much until they knew that even death could not stand in the way of God's determination to be in relationship with His children. You know, church history is filled with good examples of how bad doctrine can send you off in the wrong direction. And that reminds me of another story. Okay? Once a dashing, dedicated knight returned to the castle, and he was a mess. His armor was dented, his helmet had a gash in it, his face was bloody, and his horse was limping. The lord of the castle saw him coming and rushed out to meet him and said, "What happened to you, sir knight?" He straightened himself up as best he could, and he said, "Sire, I have been laboring in your service, robbing and burning and pillaging your enemies to the west." The nobleman was utterly taken aback. He said, "You've been what? I have no enemies to the west." He said, Oh, you do now." It is important. It is important that you know what you believe before you start acting on those beliefs. I have found over the years, and I bet you have too, that the fiercest disagreements between Christians happen when they get things out of order and they lead first with doctrine and forget about relationship, relationship with God and with neighbor and even with enemies. Relationship built first upon trust and faith on the real and present living God. Of course, we have questions. And we have moments of fear and trembling, and the disciples had these as well. But I wonder if part of their fear was now that Jesus could show up at any time, at any place, through any locked door. Then and now, you cannot lock Jesus out of your life. I think you can turn your back on Jesus. You can wander in a far country and harm yourself and harm others in the process. But Jesus, in my experience, will continue to knock at the door of your heart. Jesus is no mere memory, no phantom, no ghost. He is real, more real than sin and death. I remember when my daughter Christina was about 3 years old, I used to love playing monster with her. I don't know if you know what that is. That's where you get a three-year-old and you terrorize them just a little bit. It's all in good fun. You chase them around the house, and I had a construction paper mask with eye holes in it that she had made, and I was sort of chasing her with the monster mask, and I went a little bit too far. I guess Mom wasn't home. And Christina got in the corner, and she was whimpering a little, and she held her arms up, and she said, "I want to see Daddy. I want to see Daddy." So I took the mask off, and I was sorry, and I hugged her. Well, the world was frightened, and the world was backed up in a corner whimpering, "I want to see Daddy." And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word in flesh is Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we see the face of God, our Father, Abba, as Jesus said, Daddy. And in Jesus' face, we know that our biggest fears of judgment and death can drop away. They are real, but not as real as the love God revealed in Jesus on the cross for you and me. Fear, anger, sin, and death are mere shadows in the face of the eternal reality of the resurrected Christ. There are times when we, like the disciples, disbelieve for joy because it is just too good to be true. But the good news is, it is true. I suppose my point is even the disciples had to grow. They had only a seed of faith, a trust that somehow God was working in Jesus. And that seed blossomed into an understanding that God was not just working in Jesus, but that God was in Jesus. As it says in John 10:30, Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." I remember when Philip said to Jesus in John 14, "Show us the Father," and Jesus shakes his head and said, "Philip, have I been with you so long? How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Or Thomas, who said, "I will not believe," but then he said, "My Lord and my God." Just as their understanding of Jesus had to grow, so did their understanding of their mission have to grow. Their faith, it started so small. Their understanding of God's Messiah started so provincial, a Jerusalem-based faith. It was all about a little bitty idea of a kingdom and a little bitty city in the Middle Eastern corner of the world. What a small dream. Can you imagine how the resurrected Christ shattered and then rebuilt their vision of what God was doing? Jesus proceeded to explain that His suffering was required, because this world is so fallen that real love and real innocence and real peace are hated. The norm for our world is bitterness and vengeance, debauchery and war. Read any exhaustive history or pick up any newspaper. Throughout the Old Testament, God's prophets were despised and killed. God's law, built upon the Ten Commandments, was meant for our own good, and it merely encourages us to stay in love with God and love with our neighbor. But the history of the Bible is the history of us rejecting God and rejecting neighbor, rejecting law and rejecting limits, rejecting relationship. In Jesus Christ, God burst into our world and startled our world just as Jesus startled the disciples. He revealed both the bad news of our sin and the good news of God's determination to offer us love and life eternal. Jesus revealed God's determination to comfort us and to grow in us a faith that connects us to Him and to others. Now it's too late for us to be in that room with the disciples, but we can meet God here. And we can meet God here. Jesus said so. Will we believe from a distance out of fear? Or will we embrace the risen Christ? Jesus promised the comfort of the Holy Spirit would be in us and give us peace and comfort that nothing in the world could. And many of us have had many of the things the world can offer, and we have found when we obtained them that they were empty. Jesus promised a peace and a comfort that is full and real and eternal. If our faith is mere doctrine, mere words, mere idle tales from long ago, then where is the relationship with the risen Christ? Without first having trust in receiving the comfort of the Spirit, we dare not descend into doctrine alone as a substitute for a relationship with the living God. There are many systems you can choose from in this world to believe in, but Christianity is not a system. It is a relationship with the living God. We are not better than the disciples. Of course, first we must trust in Christ, then pray for the Comforter and the wisdom and the power of God's Holy Spirit, and then from there we can grow together with God and with each other and begin to be the church and begin to understand better His Word. And then we can boast, not of what we have done, but what God is doing through such bundles of dust like us. Amen. Please stand.
receive this blessing. The blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the availability and the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment, in your life, between us and within us. God is here. Amen.